New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Within football, we have silos.
We even talk about hiring the man first, the coach second. I think he is an unbelievable person.
Every single person in this locker room right now is playing professional football.
Aaron get COVID, and that week they're like, yeah, you starting. And I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Just here to tell you, Pack is back.
What's up, guys? This is Jeff Giannis.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the number one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined this week with Todd. Todd.
Hello.
And Todd, the Packers might not be as good as we originally thought, losing 31-34 against the Detroit Lions nearly a week ago now. I don't know, good game mm-hmm. of football, I think. Everyone came and played their darndest for the most part, it seemed like. The refs weren't spectacular, but Todd, what were your initial thoughts coming out of this game?
I immediately thought just that if that game's in Lambeau, the Packers win. And I just wish so badly that it was switched, that we had played them in Detroit first, and then this time we were playing in Lambeau, just because I just do feel like it's a different game playing at home. This loss didn't bother me at all. I think that that's a team we showed if we just continue to improve the cleanliness of our game and don't start out. What did we go?
It's the same shit every week.
Yeah, but it's getting better. But it's getting better.
True.
And that's the big thing is like Jordan Love didn't throw a pick. He hasn't thrown a pick in a couple weeks now, right? I mean, like we're
3 or 4 in a row.
We're seeing Toyotathon Jordan. That's what we need. Maybe, you know, need that offense to not sputter. Was it two times in a row to start?
I think so, yeah.
It was a slow start. If it's not a slow start, different game, couple calls go. I mean, it was such a close game. That one can go either way. That's why I say if it's at home, we win. But it was a good game.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Lions are now 12-1. Packers are 9-4. Lions are, you know, fast track to win the division as long as they don't fall apart. And we'll see what happens with the Vikings. We're obviously not going. I think it's like a 1%, or maybe it's completely eliminated that we can even win the division at this point or get the one seed. But again, I mean, if you're going to lose, I don't know. We covered, you know, it was a 3.5-point spread. So we covered. That's always very important.
Matt LaFleur covers.
Yep. And then did you see this stat? This is fucking nuts. The Lions, Packers, and Vikings are 28-3 against the rest of the NFL this year because the Packers have obviously lost to the Lions twice and the Vikings once and all that shit. Outside of games against each other, none of those teams have lost since October until us, obviously, here.
But only against each other. You know what I mean? So, like, that's the impressive thing. It's like if we didn't have to play in our division... Right? Like, that's what's crazy. But also, the Packers, like, if you look at it, too, they haven't beat... what is it? The stat was, like, they haven't beat a team with a winning record?
We haven't beat anyone in the NFC with a winning record, I believe.
Oh, that was the stat. Okay.
We beat the Texans, but
the Dolphins have a winning record when we beat them?
Well, I think it's just the NFC, though, still.
Okay.
The Dolphins might have a winning record. I don't know what they're at now.
I'm just debunking the stat I threw out there. So it's not that we don't have a win against a positive team. It's that it's NFC teams. So
yes, and yeah, of course too. It's the Lions, Eagles, and Vikings, which are the top teams in the division too. But did this game for you? Like, do you still feel good about the rest of the season? Because a lot of people, I think. It just sucked that we couldn't. It's weird to be like, oh, we still can't be better than the Lions when we've absolutely owned them for most of our lives. But it has a bit of that losing to Atlanta in the 2010 playoffs feeling too, if you remember that game. I still remember having to watch. I think it wasn't on TV for whatever reason. And what? My dad and I went to. I could be wrong. In Superior at the time, when we were still getting the Duluth coverage, maybe the Vikings were playing at the same time. I'm going to bet that's what was going on.
Okay.
So we had that game. So we had to go to Gronk's to watch it. And it was classic Packers 2-1. I remember at halftime, Terry Bradshaw saying how much better Matt Ryan was than Aaron Rodgers. And I'm like, that's not true. And then, of course, you know, Rodgers gets on to win the Super Bowl that year. But also, we fell apart at the end of that game due to special teams. I think the Packers like tied it up and then kicked it off, and there was a huge return to like the 50, and eventually the Packers lose. But obviously after that game, the locker room felt pretty confident. The Falcons were like the best team in the NFL at that point. And then of course we go on in the divisional round and boat race them. But long-winded reply to my own question, Todd, do you still think our goals remain the same here on out?
I think so. This game doesn't, it doesn't disappoint me. I mean, obviously you want to win, but like when you look at that, the only thing that really gets to me is like, what happened with the pass rush? How did we not stop a bunch of dudes off the street in that pass rush? That's the only thing, but that's a huge anomaly. We haven't seen that this year, and they only had one sack. So it was weird. It was very odd that they were getting such a good rush. But aside from that, like the Lions team is a team that I don't have any doubts we can beat them. We just have to play a clean game. We just have to do the right things, and we need a couple balls to bounce our way. That's it.
I do wonder we'll probably just get into it. But that was our first game, you know, playing on turf indoors this year when the offensive line is so used to grass, you know, at that point. Especially, I think, Zach Tom, who had his struggles. It's like, loud stadium, indoors, fast track. It's like, yeah, he really haven't been warmed up for that too much this season.
That's a good point.
But this episode, we will break down the game, offense, defense, go through that magical, wonderful. Even the games we've lost this year, it's like they've all been interesting one way or another. Even that Vikings loss where we were kind of getting blown out, we were coming back at the end. We will have take news. We're going to talk, we'll see what we have time for, but we're going to talk about Jaden Reed and if, you know, do the Packers need a true number one wideout for this offense? We're going to talk a little bit about Mark Murphy. Hey, oh my God, you know, we'd never want to talk about it, but he got some more accolades and
congratulations.
Whatever. Yeah, congratulations, Mark. You know, pat yourself on the back, which appears to be what's going on anyways. And then maybe we'll talk about Brett Favre and the whole sack thing with that one guy who was mad at him and the Michael Strahan sack record. We will have Stump Spenny Packers trivia and preview the Seattle Seahawks game. But back to the game, offense. Well, this feels like a real rivalry like we haven't really had in a while. Like the pregame shit, the Tucker Kraft, Kirby Joseph stuff, the guys just being very chippy. Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't know if it's the number one rival of Packer fans right now. I saw like Wilde and Tausch had a poll for what team do you not want to see in the Super Bowl. And it was like Vikings Eagles, Lions, and then whoever wins the NFC West. And it was like 33% Lions, 33% winners of the West. And it was like 3% Vikings, which obviously. I'm surprised it was that much of a landslide. Pre-game, everything after, these teams absolutely hate each other, to the fact that Tucker even said after the game or this week during availability that they can't come with that much energy anymore and violence because they don't have the right form when they're playing to that. So I don't know. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think what Tucker was talking about too was essentially, I think he missed a pretty key block, if I remember right. And what that was is essentially like he tried to knock a dude out and just like overshot. So, but no, I mean, it was super chippy, which was like, I as a fan, fun to watch, right? Like that's like exciting when they're that involved and that emotional about it. But yeah, I mean, I still think that like of the hated teams, I feel like the Vikings are still number one, but I don't know. Maybe that's because we live in Minnesota. I don't know.
I hate the team, and it seems to be like people all around still hate them too, you know, according to that one Twitter poll too. But they're just going to, like, Darnold. It's like, I can't hate him. I hate the Vikings, but I can't hate Hemley's just got the big puffy cheeks and everything too. They don't have a ton of guys that are super hateable on that squad anymore.
Neither is Jared Goff, not hateable.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of that shit grin to him. I don't like him having confidence because I still don't think he's all that great. He just benefits from like the perfect system for him.
Now Caleb Williams, super hateable.
Dude, and he's not even very good right now. I think he's eventually gonna be really good, but man,
just his personality. Hateable.
Very hateable guy. Yeah. And hating too, and all this drama and shit. You see the shit with LaFleur getting into it with the fan before the game, too?
I did see that.
The flag holder. First, it was just that Dar whatever on Twitter who reported it, and then we saw the clips and stuff, and then he talked about it after. I wish he didn't talk about it as much after the game, because you know it's going to be something that the Lions fans are always going to bring. If we play them in the playoffs, they're going to make him like some spotlight fan or some bullshit.
That's true.
But he had some interview like a couple days later. And he's just got that thing about him, like that look in his eye where that guy is just a douchebag. And apparently he was getting kicked out of the game when it happened. Like he was supposed to be holding the flag, but they were like escorting him out. And apparently he said that he was a flag holder before, too. And he was yelling at Raheem Morris, the Bucks coach.
Yep.
And he said like he liked it or whatever. It's like, why are you making this about you? Like talking shit to multiple coaches when you're just supposed to be out there like holding the flag. Yeah. So I don't know. I hate the Lions, and I'm starting to hate their fans now too with the way this is all going. Moving on to the game, Jordan Love. I mean, it's kind of sucked because he's playing really well, you know, Toyotathon and everything, but 12 for 20, 206, the one touchdown, took the one sack. Another very, very solid game. I mean, that throw to Watson alone, avoiding the rush, I think it was one of those where, like, in real time, it's like, he's not going to, like, complete this ball, too, where he just, like, cocks back, avoids it, resets the hips, and just rips it. The ball's just barely tipped, too, and Watson catches it. I wonder if he drops it, if the ball isn't tipped at all. I kind of, you know, just the way Watson's hands seem to be suspect at times.
Oh, I see. I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Jordan Love had a couple nice runs through. He finished four carries for 23 yards, had the one run of 14. Again, first time playing indoors. You wonder if you'd see this a little bit more if we have games like this. That one missed a Kraft wasn't very good in the end zone. I believe we ended up scoring on that drive anyway, so it didn't matter. But again, I mean, it's always been the story with Jordan Love. Anytime we lose, it seems like for the most part, more so last year maybe, but he was not the reason that the Packers didn't win on Thursday.
No, and he didn't do a whole lot to win the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, he played safe, right? Which is like, that's a nice turnaround from what we've seen before. What we need in the next couple weeks is for him to kind of like start to really sling it around and not make the mistakes. So it's that happy medium. We just need Jordan Love of last year. Is that too much to ask? That's all.
Wideouts, Christian Watson, the four receptions, 114 yards, the long of 59, and obviously that fumble, man, just a fucking, and this is just a bummer. This is extreme, but he is Super Mario MVS. The highs are higher, the lows are lower. It's the fumbles, it's the drops at the most inopportune times, but it's like, he's still, you know, it's like, you almost think of like DeSean Jackson being that type of player too, where not the best hands, obviously a streaker, huge, huge plays, but he can go whole games like disappearing at times. And that's kind of been what Christian Watson has been. But man, that fumble was in like slow-mo. It's like watching a giraffe fumble a football because it was just a long, elongated everything. The deep bomb was cool, and he played 92% of the snaps, which is pretty surprising to see out of this group.
Yeah, I do like getting him involved early, obviously. I think that changes what the defense has to do if you hit a couple crossers that go deep or hit the deep ball. But yeah, the freaking fumble, like what a momentum killer. That's what that was. And that just like, what a bummer.
Wicks played 78% of the snaps. Jaden Reed only 50 and Bo Melton 18. Obviously, the big story coming out of the game was Jaden Reed having just the one target. We'll talk a little bit more about that later with the offense, but LaFleur said after the game or on Monday, whenever he was available, that the Lions were in their base defense so often that he wanted to like match them. So they were playing a lot of 21 personnel. So he just wasn't on the field that much. And it,
sure,
it makes sense, I guess, because we weren't passing all that well, you know, in the first half anyways. Once they went to that, we started moving the ball. But at the same time, it worked. But it's very odd to play offense by being dictated by what the defense is doing, you know, and not even like of trying to avoid a certain player, but just by what they're doing. I thought that was a very strange admission from Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, definitely the opposite of what you want from your offensive, I mean, he's not offensive coordinator, but he calls the plays, right? So you don't want the pedestrian. I mean, that comment worries me a little bit. It did sound like, too, that Jordan Love said that they had some plays that they were specifically trying to get Jaden the ball, and he was maybe knocked off his spot, or like there was essentially like traffic and stuff like that. So it's not that they're not trying, but yeah, one target for Jaden Reed is like semi-criminal. I mean, you can't do that.
Yeah, one of those things too where he mostly plays in the slot, where it's like, or maybe we're just going to have to put him outside a little bit more to get him on the field, because he's always played up. I mean, he does drop balls at times, but he is not afraid to high point a ball and get physical to make catches. So I think he could be fine just about anywhere on the field. Dontavian Wicks, 4 receptions, 49 yards. Nice to see him bounce back. Only one of his targets was a complete. I don't remember him dropping anything, so that's good. And I believe he was pretty close to getting a touchdown too. So nice to see that going again. It sounds like Romeo Doubs. Well, I was very surprised, because I think when we talked last, I said I assume he's going to play. He's still in the concussion protocol apparently with Evan Williams, but I would be very, very surprised if he doesn't play. Missing 3 games for a concussion would be something.
Yeah, that's significant.
And then also pass catchers, Tucker Kraft, 3 for 41, 1 touchdown. I mean, I love him so much. His touchdown was cool. He really has like the strongest hands. It was kind of like that diving one, I think maybe against Houston or the Cardinals in the end zone. But it's one thing to dive and make a catch, but on an absolute bullet, it's like, how many guys can lay out like that and control the ball? That it, like a tight end doing that just is crazy to me. And he's done it multiple times now.
And that's why surviving the ground is so hard. Like when you lay out like that and you're not able to, like, especially when you weigh 250 pounds, it hurts to land on your ribs, to land on your side. Like that's not like a fun, that can't be a good situation, right? So like, yeah, he's just a tough dude. And we saw that too, like the play where Kirby goes to try and end his season. If you saw that on the left hash line. Or the left sideline too, where he sidesteps him and just hits 2 line defenders and just dead stop.
I mean, did he jump over Kirby Joseph? What did you think? I do have screenshots.
I mean, he avoided the hit. Is that what you're asking me? Well, or I'm like, oh, my bold, no, my he did
bold,
not hurdle
my
him.
Bold prediction was a hurdle, and this would be great.
Oh,
for
that's me. Not. It, I don't think that that's a hurdle.
I kept trying to find like the perfect moment, and this is just perfect for a visual medium here. But it's like,
I think your crotch has to go over his head.
I mean, it is, but it's also his knee. I thought it was awfully close, but I'm like, hey, I feel good about it, because I'm like, hey, he's going to try to jump over him because he's going to go for his knee. And it's like, hey, there's him.
And he did.
Going for his knee. And I don't remember if it was that play or a different one, but he was talking shit to that linebacker or maybe safety. I think it was a linebacker. It was a white guy. And they were talking shit after the play. And then do you see Tucker Kraft like doing the come here motion to him? Do you remember that? I can't believe we haven't seen more replays of that. I almost need
I
to
don't
go
remember
back.
That.
It was so funny. Like they were talking shit, and you could tell like the linebacker did get the better of him. But Tucker Kraft like walking away, he's like, come here.
He's not scared.
No, not scared. I was half bracing for like a flag, but again, I think Tucker's probably gonna, I don't know, get away from that a little bit here. He even said that they need to. Well, I talked about it. But they got to be better than that. And then sticking with tight ends too, Luke Musgrave did practice today for the first time, well, since going on IR, obviously. I think, I don't remember if it was the Cardinals game or Viking game or when he got hurt.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
But we'll have to see what happens there. I guess, how do you feel about Luke Musgrave coming back into this offense?
I mean, depth is great. It doesn't bother me at all. And somebody who is a vertical threat too, playing out of the seam, I think that there's always a fun aspect to that, having a tight end that can run that vertical seam. But he's Tucker's number one, and it's not even close. And so, like, I don't see Musgrave taking snaps. It's just, hey, double tight. Yeah, great. Put him in there. You know, that's awesome.
I just wonder, because he's a liability blocking. I think Ben Sims is a better blocker. And you wonder the positive of Luke Musgrave's pass catching outweighs the negative of his blocking. Because I would say while he was playing this year, it kind of did outweigh. I don't know.
I think if you're double tight, you don't necessarily need two really good blockers unless you plan on power running at the tight ends. Like, if you put a tight end on each side, you don't have to block with both of them. One of them's going out for a pass every time.
But you know, listen to what you're saying there. So you would then be taking away routes from Tucker Kraft. You know what I mean?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not great.
Yeah, but see, that's what I'm worried of.
But I do like double tight.
Yes. So yes. I'm all for it. Yeah, I guess, you know, it's not like Ben Sims is doing much anyways. Running game, Josh Jacobs, another pretty solid game. 18 carries, 66 yards. I mean, the three touchdowns, we just saw some stat. I don't know if it's true, but no one else since 2021 had multiple three-touchdown games for the running back position, and he did in back-to-back games, which is pretty surprising. But yeah, he didn't have any receptions in this game, actually, from what I'm seeing. But
nope.
Another solid game from him. Emmanuel Wilson, the 1-for-7. Chris Brooks, the 1-for-3. God, I even tweeted out there, the Chris Brooks over 9.5 seems like a lock, but he only had the one carry.
1-for-3.
If it was a blowout one way or the other, I think we would have got more carries out of him.
Yeah.
But I don't have much complaints for the run game.
We
might have stuck with it too much almost at the beginning.
Maybe. But I won't complain about that. It's nice having a running game, and like, obviously Jacobs, it runs through Jacobs, but like having a running game when you get down to the 5-yard line that you're like, okay, deep breath, let's just score.
Mm-hmm.
And then just hand the ball off two times and you're in. It's like, that's just so nice. We haven't had that for forever.
That is what, more than anything else, with over the last month, I believe that Lions game is the last time we had real troubles in the red zone. We were good in this game in the red zone, I believe. But it's just been, yeah, like we were talking about kind of all year, Tucker Kraft and Josh Jacobs in the red zone, maybe Jaden Reed as well. And that has literally been, it's like, just give Jacobs the ball. And if nothing else, one of his two carries that you give him per set within the 20, he's going to bust something close to the goal line or score.
Yeah. And on the goal line, he's been great.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not going to jinx anything. Offensive line was shockingly bad. I think we talked about kind of on the top two. Especially in the first half, Love had 10 dropbacks. He was pressured on 6 of them. 60% was the highest pressure rate he had faced in a first half of his career. He was 1-for-3, 20 yards, a sack, and an 8-yard scramble when pressured. And on top of it, Z getting the sack on the first play, it's like, football gods, what are you doing to us? Of course, they didn't have another sack the rest of the game, and he kind of disappeared, but very surprised. Three series in a row, bad pass blocking.
I'm forgetting about this offensive line performance. It didn't happen. We're moving on. We're on to Cincinnati. So.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like we always think getting ready for playoff football, like, you know, playing outside when it's cold, and it's like, well, actually, we're probably going to have to prepare for playing on that.
Play inside.
Inside, yep. Again. Sean Ryan got hurt, I think, in the second quarter, and Kadeem Telfort came in and played guard. Apparently, that was his first time he's ever played right guard, like, in his
life. Perfect.
Like, it was never statted anywhere, I believe, college, too, of him playing guard. Jacob Monk was a healthy scratch for the second or third week in a row, which I thought, I kept wondering, because he was always active the rest of the year. I'm like, well, what happens? And sure enough, I think most people were surprised that Kadeem Telfort, who had only really played tackle in training camp and was, one of the bigger surprises going into training camp, that he made the 53-man roster, but for him to be the first man off the bench to come in was surprising.
Do you like the 5-tackle offense, though?
I think it was only 8 snaps, maybe less than that. It's very odd to have Telfort, who's a much larger person, than Zach Tom to his right.
And then
you've
got Josh Myers, who's a monster for a center. Yeah. And then you've got, it's just like, it's funny.
Yeah.
When looking at that line when he came in, I'm like, oh, that's a Wisconsin O-line. Yeah.
God, I'm trying to think. It's like the opposite of that game in like 2017, 2018, maybe, where it was all the guards. Remember, it was like Elton,
that
TJ,
tackle and shit. Yeah.
Fuck yeah, Josh Sitton played like a whole game at right tackle or left tackle,
and then he got hurt at the end. And who? What was the defensive player that came in?
I think that was, you're thinking the NFC Vikings Championship game. Where LaTroy Guyon came in and played guard. Yeah, and I think this is like the third time it's come up, but when we talked to Brett Goode thought he was maybe going to go in and play guard at the end of that game, and obviously it
But didn't LaTroy come in at tackle?
I thought
that was something
super weird. Maybe it was tackle.
Super
I thought it was
weird.
Guard. Maybe a different instance of that happened.
Because you could like plug a guy, a big body in at guard, and it wouldn't look as weird. For some reason in my head, and I could be wrong, but it's sticking out that he played tackle. And I was like, that dude doesn't look
Yeah,
like.
Maybe. I think it was just like a kneel down to or
I'll
close.
Look it up. Yeah.
I was going to say, if you're listening.
Maybe a dive play or something.
If you're listening and you know, leave a comment too. Because if you're screaming at your radio, which, yeah, you're driving your car. Rashid Walker threw that dude out of the club. On that one Jacobs touchdown, that was pretty cool. I don't know if that's good form, but look cool. And again, Zach Tom, worst game in quite some time. Hopefully he bounces back, but we don't have to linger on that. That was the offense. I'm trying to think if there was anything else. I think it was more good than bad. It's nice that the second half, I mean, scoring 31 points against the Lions feels pretty good. And the offense, it's just let's get a full game of this, that we don't have to have all this other bullshit worrying going on, right?
LaTroy played right guard and Spriggs moved outside to take over for Bulaga when he went out.
Okay. See, there you go. I thought it was guard.
Yeah, I'm wrong.
Yeah. Well, what else is new with that? We all have a quick commercial break.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, and we are back with the defense. The defense, not very good in this game, letting up 34 points. The goal line stand was cool until it wasn't. That fourth down conversion felt like the biggest moment shift, at least in, I don't know, the first half. You remember that at the end of the first half? I almost forget because of the way the game ended, but going for it on fourth down with however many seconds left, that was, God, that would have been huge if we stopped them there. Packers, or whatever, the Lions, on third down, converted 7 of 15. And on fourth down, they were 4 for 5, which it's just pretty, pretty brutal seeing all those numbers together. It was just like we couldn't stop them all night. It was brutal.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's one of those things where, to me, if a couple – what did they go for on fourth down? Like 4 times? 5 times?
5 times, yeah.
And they got it 4 times?
Yeah.
Okay. So if a couple of those go the other way, this to me is a different game. And that's like part of the reason why I'm like, hey, if this is at Lambeau, it's a different game. Like I just really feel like it's the inches, the battle of the inches in football, that like playing at your home stadium matters so much. The defense is what it is at this point. The middle of the field is wide open. Passing on the perimeter when Jair is not there, also wide open. Run stuffing, when we want to do it, we're good at it. Aside from that, when you put Quay there and you don't rush him, it's bad. But I don't know. It's just like the defense kind of is what it is at this point. I'm not surprised by anything. If anything, I'm surprised at how well we actually are at stopping goal line stands. I think that is impressive and fun to watch.
Goal line stands, and I would even, I mean, you kind of talk bad about it there, but I think overall our run D has been pretty consistent overall, because the one you had your bold prediction, which I probably maybe should have pushed back on more, but the combined running
it was a great, very bold.
The running from David Montgomery and Gibbs totaling less than 100, and Montgomery had 51, Gibbs had 43, and none of them, especially Gibbs, 15 for 43 is not very good. So like we still had a very solid run D in this game, even though we lost. You were talking about how bad the pass D is over the middle. You must have seen this tweet from Dan Orlovsky as well.
Yep.
The Packers defense has allowed 174 completions over the middle of the field, 30th in the NFL, and given up 10 touchdowns in that same area. Only 6 teams have allowed more. Only 16 teams have allowed more is an odd way to, like, not say, like, 20s.
What rank they are?
Yeah.
That is weird.
But I guess that's just sentence formation. But yeah, I don't know. Defense, I still... It's just funny. It's ebbs and flows of this argument, but is it the players? Is it the scheme? Because the argument now that we've been hearing, and I've been hearing little birdies all over the place telling me this, like, what if Joe Barry, just instead of Darnell Savage, had Xavier McKinney? Like, what would that defense, like, is it completely different? Because
yeah,
points per game right now, I think it's only a difference of, like, half a point or less.
I think that it's a completely different. If Joe Barry's there, they're not up at the line, which we do see guys up at the line pressing and contesting guys on third downs, which, like, we never saw in Barry's defense. So, like, you can't just pass it on the outside for a quick completion for 5 yards and get a first down every time. Thank God. You can, however, pass it over the middle for 15 yards.
Yeah.
At will. So, like, I don't know. We have generated a handful of picks that way. But at the same time, like, if you're just past linebacker depth, it's safe to say that those routes are going to be open.
Pass rush in this game, like we kind of talked about, was not very good either. Rashawn Gary had the one sack, which was cool, but other than that, not a hell of a lot. I mean, I think we pressured okay at times, but it just was few and far between. Kenny Clark had a pretty solid game overall. Once again, December, even when he's playing inside. Lucas Van Ness hurt his thumb but came back. I don't think there's been any update on what he did there. Anytime someone leaves the game because they have, like, a thumb or finger injury, I just assume it's broken and they're, like, taping it up or some shit. But
yeah,
we never got any clarification on that. And then the other thing.
And if you go in for a thumb injury, you're just going to get an x-ray. That's all, right? Like, that's all it is. There's nothing they can do for you other than, yeah, tape it up. Yeah. You can take it up, tape it up anywhere.
Yeah. The other thing I just kind of thought of, Quay had the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever, and thank God he didn't. I mean, one, he had the unnecessary roughness, which it was like, at first I was like, yes, come on, Quay, and then you see the replay, and it's like, total Zach Tom-esque flop job there. But the ref got hurt. Remember the ref got hurt? I guess we can talk about the refs after this. So that one ref got hurt, the side judge. JJ ran into him after a play, didn't try to get out of the way a little bit. Ran into the ref. The ref had to leave the game for a bit. So then there are trainers on the field, you know, helping
him. Oh, I do remember that.
And,
yeah,
and there was, like, Lions trainers on the field. And the Packers, you know, were on defense. And I was like, Quay can do, like, what if he pushed the trainer into the ref? Like, that is the only way he could really talk the other shit that he's done in the past. But of course he didn't. And I don't, God. It's bad that we're at the point now, and you mentioned it with the pass D2. Again, I mean, we're dumb fans, but 3 weeks ago we were like, oh God, Quay's awful. And now it's like, Quay's the most consistent linebacker on the team. This time a week ago we said, who would you rather have, Chris Barnes or Isaiah McDuffie? And I was like, oh no, we're back. No, Chris Barnes we would rather have than Isaiah McDuffie.
Well, and watching Quay when he's on, when he's attacking, they're not the same person. Like, you could convince me, you know, they do, like, the blurry tapes, yeah. And it's like all quarterbacks or whatever. But, like, if you gave me two blurry tapes of, like, you know, let's say it was Quay against who was it the first time he was so bad against? Was it the Bears that he was awful against?
It was a lot.
It was like Quay against the Bears and then Quay last week, and it would be like, they're not the same person. Like, that's not the same person. They attack completely differently. So Quay, good job to him. Good job to Halfley for dumbing it down, slowing it down for him so he can be fast.
And so, I mean, the pass D still just over the middle. Everything was good. And then once we finally started covering shit over the middle fine, the second half, it was just the screens. And there's just nothing more demoralizing than those shitty little screens that looks like it should be like a minimal gain or like 3 yards, and it ends up being a first down. So it was like the cat and mouse game of like, oh, your linebackers can't get depth, and then they finally start playing back a little bit more, and then it's like, oh, well, screen, we're just going to hit you with the screens now. It's like, fuck, man. It's just, and that's why you go back to like players, not plays. But I don't know.
Why didn't we run any screens when they were rushing the shit out of us?
I don't know. That's a good question for Matt LaFleur, especially with how good we are blocking overall as a team. I don't know. I think that especially like the first play where we get sacked, we mentioned it multiple times. Yeah. But we were clearly trying to go deep. Apparently Wicks and Reed both went deep on that play, and I don't know what it worked out, but I don't just not enough time to get the ball back. Keyshawn Nixon with the big pick. That was cool. That was a... I'm yelling at the TV, ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo, at that moment, because he ran the route for him. I mean, the start of the second half could not have gone any better for the Packers in this game. Scoring first off, and then Keyshawn, very reminiscent of the pick he had against Patrick Mahomes last year, too.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful pick. I, too, was screaming at the TV when that happened. It's just like a... It's like that sigh of relief. It's like, okay, we're back in it. Like, we're not getting dominated. Like, this is fun. And I just was like, in my head, I'm like, it's California Jared Goff. We just need California Jared Goff to show up. And he showed up. Just, if he had showed up one more time, we would have been fine.
Yeah, it was, I mean, God, the first half was so demoral, those first three drives, because we got the ball at like the 50, and I texted you, I'm like, all right, suicide pact if we don't score here. And then we didn't score here, and I was like, ah, didn't score. Never mind.
No, we have to kill ourselves.
Yeah, we have to, yeah, well, yeah, whatever.
Unalive.
Unalive, yeah, thank you, there we go.
Bleep that.
Yeah, fix that. Carrington Valentine, I mean, he's been playing okay. He loves flirting with being offsides. Did you see that those couple times? Why,
what was he... Did you see when he walked completely offsides?
The one, it was like it was a movie, and he was trying, like he knew, because he walked like a full yard at least across the, and then he looked, he's like, oh shit, and he hops back right as the snap was going. I was getting ready to see
yellow. I think he was offsides. I think there's no way he wasn't offsides.
I don't, maybe he got back in time or just close enough, but for all the other ones where we've been offsides at the snap, and you're like, is his head over? I don't know. For that to not be one was scary. Like, I can't remember that, it being more egregious than that.
I will take that over being 10 yards off line of scrimmage, but it's still, like, I'm freaking out when he does that every time. Yeah. Same with JJ. Get your head on the other side of the line of scrimmage.
Yes. I have this note in there. I'm really good at saying too much when I see a pass in the air and then it goes out of bounds. I'm like career 90-95% on too much and the ball actually going over the receiver's head. Evan Williams got a concussion. Javon Bullard got hurt. He got carted off with an ankle. He got scanned. He's not practicing. They haven't put him on IR. Matt LaFleur said he's week to week. Perfect. Just don't be dead. Be back for the playoffs. That's all I really care about. But that did bring Zane Anderson into the game, who had eight career defensive snaps before this, and he ended up having, I don't know, 30, 40 some. Played pretty solid. He had that one really good, of course, on third down stop on David Montgomery, but could have been a lot worse filling in.
I think he played really well. I didn't notice him a whole lot, but I did notice him a couple times. I'm like, hey, that's better than the alternative. Like, typically when you got, what does he end up being, third or fourth string? It's like you're just praying that they're not going to pick on him. And I don't, from what I could tell, they didn't. So,
yeah, it's weird when you have like the rotation of, you know, Keyshawn in the slot to playing corner and then Bullard and then Evan Williams and then X just always out there. It's like, wait a minute, who is the next guy? Oh, it's fucking Zane Anderson? Holy shit, okay.
Right.
Yeah, especially for a white boy, he played all right. Lions run D, they had 23 rush attempts, go for 3 or less yards most this season. So again, that just shows you how well we played. If they didn't get those decent chunk plays, we stopped them up front pretty good. I mean, fucking Wooden had that huge breakout.
Yeah.
That was... I watched a little bit of the game from the Amazon Sky cam thing, which was kind of cool. It's like
Madden mode.
Christian Watson's fumble was extra slow, and it looked like, from my vantage point, like Tucker Kraft completely gave up on the play and could have jumped on the ball seeing the other angle. It's like maybe it wasn't as bad as it looked. But yeah, I don't know. It's... Oh, God. Al Michaels just... And we talked about it last week, how Al Michaels is the former GOAT, but he hasn't been very good of late. That play where Carl Brooks just ran into the backfield and took out Jared Goff, and then Gibbs, I believe, ran for like 15 yards.
Oh, yes. Yep, I remember.
L. Michaels had nothing to say during the play about Carl Brooks, like he couldn't see him. And the Herbstreit after the play is gushing about the penetration that Brooks had. It was just, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe his eyesight's not very good. He couldn't tell who it was, so he didn't want to say anything. Not be like, I can't see who that is. So he just is like, hey, Kirk, you got it.
And this game, too, more than it's happened a little bit this season, but we're getting tackles and throwing dudes forward, especially Wooden again. I think at least twice he had Gibbs where it should have been, you know, 3 yards short of the first down, and all of a sudden it's a first down by a yard or two. It's like, hey, I know I'm a little wimpy white guy, but you can't be throwing them forward like this. I wouldn't do that.
It is tough to do with the way they tackle now, though.
Yeah, that's a good point. Should we talk about the refs a little bit here? Yeah, we're gonna talk a little bit about the refs here. Overall, what did you? I mean, it wasn't good.
It wasn't good, but like, there's way worse games out there.
Yeah.
Like, yes, there was some calls that sucked, and like they were. The problem was is that they were in pivotal moments.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem like the pick call was being called the same.
Yeah.
That was like the one thing that stood out to me was like, the pick play. That one sucked. But like, aside from that, like, I don't really remember it being all that bad. The refs suck anyway. Like, they don't get calls right. Yeah. So it's like, what's the, and you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah. I don't, it's just bad anyway.
The hands of the face that Amon-Ra had on Xavier, I guess could have been called, but I'm like, eh, I don't really care. The blow to the head from Z on Jordan Love, I was like, I don't care about this. His helmet's 2 inches thick.
Agreed. It is for sure a penalty.
Right.
However, it's football also.
Yeah, and that's what I always say. Like, pass interference, unless it's totally egregious, I do not get upset with it anymore. Like, it should only be, like, 90% of the people in the bar should say it's pass interference for it to be pass interference.
Can I tell you my take on pass interference?
No.
If you, I think we should change it so that, like, you can push the receiver a little bit. Like, you can hand fight for the ball and stuff. You just can't go after their hands.
Sure.
Because what I think sucks is, like, you got a guy who, like, let's say Devontae, for example.
If you chop their arms.
You can't chop their arms. What I'm saying is, like, the D-back can, like, put his hands on him, jockey for position, like, push him out of the way.
Uh-huh.
But you can't chop their arms because the chopping of the arms is so lame. Because you got a guy who completely dominates you in the end zone.
I guess,
and then you just whack his arm. And it's like, okay, well, that's pass interference. Like, you need to go for the ball.
L. Harris would
that's my take.
L. Harris would be the greatest corner of all time if those were the rules in his time then.
If you could just mean mug him. Like, I wish you could just mug him. But, like, when the ball's in the air, you can't hit their hands.
Yeah. Like, the Keyshawn, the one he was bitching about, it's like, I guess. The most egregious ones for me that I think should have been called was the Keyshawn Nixon hold when he blitzed. I saw that live was bad. And seeing the replay, it was bad. And then calling Watson for the offensive pass interference, I thought was bullshit, too. That's what Matt LaFleur was bitching about on the last drive because LaPorta came out and set a pick. But on top of that, too, the flags were so late. Like, Watson hits him.
Right.
And you can tell, like, Watson was just running his route. And he couldn't really get away from the guy. And it wasn't until after Jacobs scored that they threw the flags out. I was like, well, if it was if it's a pass interference, it's a pass interference. The outcome of the play
throw it.
Shouldn't really be what it was.
I do feel like pick plays always get thrown late, though. The flag gets thrown late.
Yeah, I guess, or not at all if it's Sam LaPorta. Another little piece of nudes, Jonathan Ford, we've talked about him here and there at times. He is no longer with the Packers. I put this out there on Twitter. He got poached. He's now on the Chicago Bears. One of the more weird roster lives of an NFL player that I can remember. I'm sure there's a lot worse ones, but whatever. Drafted by the Packers in 2022, stayed on the 53-man roster his entire rookie year, but didn't suit up for a single game. He was on the practice squad all of last year, was never called up to play in a game, never suited up, and all of this year. I mean, he was on IR for a bit, but he was never called up to play in the game. So he was with us for nearly three total seasons, you know, 2.5 seasons, 2.75, whatever. Didn't suit up once, never put on a Packers jersey in a regular season game. And now there's a good chance his first game with the Bears, he's going to play in his first NFL game, which is just, I don't know, just funny how that shit happens in the NFL, I guess.
It feels like a movement that would happen, like, to the Vikings. Like, somebody goes from never... This is apples and oranges completely, but it's like, who's the dude... Oh, why am I blanking on his name? Big white dude.
Tonyan.
Who played D-line.
Oh, nope. Dean Lowry.
D-line. Lowry. Dean Lowry going to the Vikings. And they're like, oh my God, this guy's the best dude ever. It's like, actually, no. He's okay. Like, I don't want to hate on Dean.
He was, anyways, but he was bad.
It like, has like that feeling to it.
Yeah, that's fair. Rashawn Gary, last note on defense that I have. He was not on the field on the final fourth down play. I don't get that. In no world does that make sense unless he's hurt, right? Because I think it was like Aaron Mosby or someone was out there.
Because he's actually been super good in run D.
I guess, but Gary's been fine too. He blew up the play.
No,
last
I'm
week.
Saying Gary has been super good at run D when it counts.
I was gonna say, I was like, how do you have an opinion on Aaron Mosby's run?
No.
Run game.
I like Aaron Mosby, but just for fun.
Just as a concept, I like Aaron Mosby.
Yeah, I like him.
Special teams. All I have written here is shit on the refs. You know, again, I mean, we made our field goals. Our punting was good. The only other, this is my other note from the game, and I saw it first because there was a new one, and then there was a second one, the Cheerios one, I believe. How is it legal? And I guess I know that it is legal, but the biggest workaround ever in commercials is you just hire multiple people from the office, and then you have them, you know, like eat Cheerios or fucking stab themselves with Ozempic or whatever. But it's like, it's an unofficial office commercial just because those people are only really seen as actors in the office. I can't remember what the other one was. I think one is Cheerios with Stanley and Phyllis, I want to say. But then there's other ones, too, where they have like five of them and it has nothing to do with office. But maybe it's like office supplies or something. But it's like, how do they get away
the
with
office?
It? You know what I mean? Is this?
I don't know what you mean. You mean that like you can't you like it feels illegal that you can use the office characters?
Yes.
And put them in different commercials.
Yes, because they're not doing anything that has to do with the office. You just have all the actors, and it's
exactly like a football player.
Right. When you see like the betting things, and they just have like a green jersey that's unaffiliated. Yeah. Yes, exactly. But I'm just like, people complain about.
You don't like it.
I don't know. It's just, I guess those people have odd careers anyways because they haven't really found great gigs after even Rainn Wilson, it seems like, at this point. But it's like, what? I know what you're doing. That's all I'm thinking when I'm looking at the commercial.
Well, and they're totally exploiting,
right.
I mean, the fact that they're on that show, but that's all they have also, which is like, that's a bummer.
I think that's why I am ambivalent, maybe is the word. I don't even know.
You sound like a hater.
Well, It's like when I get mad at AJ Dillon for something I know I can't get mad at him about. Because with this, it's like, it's not like I'm sticking up for NBC. Like, they should get money. It's like, I'd prefer these actors who probably don't get a ton of work now get some money than the big evil network. But that's...
I think we agree. It's great.
Okay, cool. And that's all we have on the Packers-Lions game. We will have take news.
Football time. Take news.
All right, take news for the week here. It's a clip from the ESPN Milwaukee, Madison, whatever, Jim, what are their names?
Jim Rome.
Gabe and Chewy. Jen, Gabe and Chewy on it.
Okay,
perfect. No slip up there. Jen, Gabe and Chewy on ESPN Madison. So they had Jason Wilde on. And Mark Chmura, the Packers' former tight end with a very normal past, no shenanigans he got into in a hot tub in his past. They were on, and he asked this question of Jason Wilde after this Lions game where Jaden Reed had no targets. Well, sorry, no receptions. He had a target, no receptions.
Jason, I know there's nothing they can do about it this year, but is it time to go and get a number one? A stud receiver, because I think this is why their third down percentage is so terrible. You know, they all have the same kind of guy. Defensively, they don't have to do anything. They don't have to double anybody. Do you think it's finally time? Like, let's go out and get a T. Higgins. So at least we know they're going to double team him, and then the picture becomes easier for Jordan Love.
Yeah.
look, you've been very clear on your opinion on this. I don't have a problem with it. I would say that they are a better third down team when Romeo Doubs is healthy.
So, Todd, I'll just open up to you. Do you think this team needs to go out and get a number one receiver in this offseason? In this offseason, that's one way to say it.
I don't think so. I think that the team, I think that it works well as long as the drops aren't happening. And it's like, okay, yeah, you could feed one of these guys more. And I think that you could have some success with that too. I do understand the third down percentage idea, and I agree with Jason on the idea that, like, when Romeo's in there, like, he's the third down guy. And, like,
especially that last game he played in.
And he's almost like, he kind of is the number one of the group. Like, if you had to pick one of just, like, guys that Jordan goes to when he needs a play.
I can't believe it's week 14 and you could still at this point make an argument for Jaden Reed, who does lead the team in receptions and yards still, Romeo Doubs or Christian Watson. You know,
yeah.
Just right now, it's very tough to figure out who really the lead dog is.
If somebody was catching all the balls, like if somebody wasn't dropping anything, well then yeah, you're going to feed that dude a little bit more, right? But like, no, you could have the same issue with a stud receiver. I mean, you go way back. I'm trying to remember who were the two Falcons wide receivers. It was like Roddy White,
yeah.
and Roddy dropped an insane amount of passes that one year.
Yeah.
And then for 3 years, he was unstoppable.
God,
and so it's like, if you just have a guy, if our guys are just dropping half the balls that they've been dropping, I don't know that anyone's complaining about this because it looks way different.
Yeah, I guess, but we're still coming out of a game where drops weren't the issue either. You know, I mean, again, Jaden Reed finishes the game with zero receptions. Romeo Doubs is coming back. Christian Watson isn't consistent enough. And then Dontavian Wicks is still inconsistent. Bo Melton's Bo Melton. It's just tough because I guess we're saying the same thing, but the consistency isn't there. So then I think it goes to this. Do we not have the talent to be consistent? / do our current pass catchers need time to turn into a more consistent player? Or is Matt LaFleur's offense always kind of like this too? Because like we talked about earlier, you know, he said he kind of went away from Jaden Reed because of the game plan and how the Lions were playing them and stuff. So it's like, obviously it was a different type deal when it was Rodgers and Davante Adams because they're always kind of the cheat code to go to. But outside of that, it's like, I don't know if a number one receiver going forward here is ever going to really flourish in a Matt LaFleur offense. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess the way I look at it is that I didn't love having just a one, right? Having this supreme number one with Aaron and Devontae.
It was pretty
and
it's cool. Like, it was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool and it worked until it didn't work. And then in the playoffs, it's like, yeah, we're just going to take Devontae away and like, good luck. Like, we know you're looking for him. We're just going to, you know, put a safety over the top and like pressure you. So it's tough because it's like, if you look at where Dontavian Wicks was last year at this time, he's looking like a guy who he catches everything. He's great on the yak end. And like, if he fills that role in these next couple weeks and he starts, I mean, I don't think he had a drop this
week. Yeah, he was solid.
If next week he does the same thing and like Jordan can start utilizing more in the offense, like, I don't know. It's not talent. I would say it's for sure not talent. Like, they have the talent. They just need to be consistent. I guess if you classify that as talent, I don't know. But
I think we all thought that we would feel a lot better about our receiver group week 14
Fair.
Than we do right now. Cause it's crazy that we still don't know who the number one is. And, you know, after the first month or two, we thought it was Jaden Reed for sure. And I think, you know, if you had a bet on someone at this point, I would still pick him, but I don't know. It's just, it's very, this is dumb and I don't think we'll do it. Maybe we will. I don't know. But I would trade a wideout this offseason. I would see if I could get... It's so tough, but it's
either... Yeah, who do you trade?
I'd either trade Romeo Doubs or Dontavian Wicks, I think, at this point, which is tough because unless someone bites on Christian Watson, but the variability of his game is just so tough where I don't know, one, if you want to give up that big playability or if someone would buy all the way in. I mean, we probably should have traded him away for Jonathan Taylor, maybe. I don't know how different if we'd be a lot different right now, actually, if that happened a year ago. But I don't know. It's a it's a screwy situation. I guess we'll see how the year finishes off, and I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I would not trade away Wicks. I don't think you get anything on the market for him.
Yeah.
I think that his upside is way more worth keeping around.
But I guess the thing for me, too, is we just really haven't had a identity since Devontae left, you know? And that was the 2021 season. That was always guaranteed. Because you'd almost argue that the most consistent identity we've had has been Josh Jacobs. You know, because even last year was kind of going all over the place, and it's not like Jordan Love was, you know, totally putting the team on his back. I mean, he's really, really great down the stretch. Almost Aaron Jones with that streak he had to finish off the year with his 100-yard games as well. But right. It'll be interesting to see at the end of this year where, again, I wonder if, and this is way over the top, but if Matt LaFleur is just kind of the Kirk Cousins plus of coaching, where he's always really, really good putting together game plans and offenses. But I don't know if he can do it three games in a row with his players when they don't get to play as consistently on the field, because you're always swapping guys in and out too, that you need to on a playoff run.
Very rude to call Matt LaFleur Kirk Cousins. That was that hurts, Matt. Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one where you look at, like, Matt. I think occasionally Matt has a hard time motivating the team. That seems like coming out flat is just like, to me, that's a reflection of the coach. And like, the Lions don't come out flat.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's like, that's to me more of a concern. And that's like how we get into these predicaments. I don't have any qualms with him. I think he's somewhat of a genius when it comes to like offensive, especially like run plays. Like, the dude's freaking smart.
It's just very funny. I think he's just kind of somewhat of a genius.
He's not like the best in the league, but like...
But no, some plays.
What he did with Malik Willis was amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's, again, like an argument. Just do the Malik, whatever. With that next thing to talk about, everyone loves when we talk about him. Everyone loves when I talk about him. Mark Murphy. Mark Murphy being honored again. So, Todd, you and I talked about this a little bit, and actually shout out to Aaron Nagler, because they had Packers transplants today, which I used to always listen to, but since we've had the podcast, I try to not listen to other podcasters just because I'm like, I don't want to, you know, double up on shit that people say. So, Mark Murphy, again. So, Mark Murphy, it came out that he is going to get his own day of celebration. The Packers announced that they will hold a special halftime ceremony on Monday, December 23rd, when the Packers face the Saints to celebrate Mark Murphy's accomplishments as president and CEO of the franchise. No word yet whether this is, I'm reading Aaron Nagler's tweet, no word yet if Corey Behnke will attend. I assume Behnke isn't a huge Mark Murphy fan, to which, again, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, where I said, yes, they have, and again, this is what I read off. So now he has this position, the Mark Murphy Director of Athletics at the University of GB. Again, the position has his name in it, which is fucking weird. He's going to be the lone inductee into the Packers Hall of Fame this summer. You know, guys, and not like he was a phenomenal player, but like A.J. Hawk, guys, a staple of the Packers of the Super Bowl run, has the most tackles in team history. He's not in the Packers Hall of Fame, but Mark Murphy gets to go in before him. And now he also has this halftime celebration, which I'm like, okay, whenever this shit happens, I just Google and try to see what did Bob Harlan have? Because Bob Harlan saved the franchise. He's the best president we'll ever have, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, if you do as much as Bob, that's fine. But you shouldn't do more than him, is kind of what I'm looking at. He never had a halftime celebration. Never had a halftime celebration. He does have his own plaza outside Lambeau, which is obviously bigger. Ooh. But that induction or whatever presentation wasn't until 2010, a couple years after Bob had retired.
Sure.
So it's like all of this is at once. It's like, how much do we really need to fucking celebrate this guy? So I don't know. Do you have any initial thoughts on that? Am I still crazy? Am I bitching too much about it? Or do I have a point?
I think you're obviously sensitive to Mark Murphy issues, but I will say, like, this one is like, yeah, like, I don't, I mean, I don't feel strongly about it, but it's like, okay, like, we get it. Like, you're kind of running the show, patting yourself on the back, like, look how great I am. But it's like, you have to do something when somebody that's been there for that long, and like, the franchise has done great since he's been there.
For sure.
You've got, you know, Titletown expansions. Like, it's not like he's done nothing. But yeah, it's just a little bit like, okay, dude, we get it.
And like maybe spread it out a little bit. And people have said this, maybe he has some health issues going on, so maybe he's not long for whatever. But that would make some more sense too. Hopefully that isn't what's going on. So this was, so then Nagler originally tweeted, a couple people on the beat or press, whatever, put it out there. But then the Packers tweeted it out, and I'm like, okay, what does the story say? This is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. No one else seemed to care about this. This is part of the announcement. The ceremony will include remarks from Mark Murphy and a special video looking back on his tenure. Murphy will also be featured on the cover of the game program and on the game coin used for the coin flip. A commemorative pin in honor of Murphy's time as president and CEO will also be available for the purchase at the Packers Pro Shop store.
You can buy one?
The pin. That is nuts to
me. I'm going to buy you one.
It is Mark Murphy Day. The program, I'm like, sure, whatever. Like, I was, a couple years ago, I was there when Leroy got inducted, and he had his little speech. I don't think he was even on the program then. It was Darnell Savage and Adrian Amos, actually. Yeah, that is what it was. I'm positive now. So Leroy Butler wasn't on the program. Mark Murphy is for this. But you're making a specially made coin with Mark Murphy's fucking gap-ass grin on it, on the coin.
I love it.
Making a it is Mark. They're making Mark Murphy Day at Lambeau Field. It's like, it was already too much, and now it's too much on top of too much. I'm wondering if there's going to be more at this point, because it's obnoxious, if nothing else.
It's a bit comical. I love it. I'm leaning into it.
Again, like I talked about it last week, thank God he's not Kevin Warren, the president of the Bears. Like, that dude is so much worse. Like, there is so much worse than this. Like, these aren't trivial things, but it's like, Mark, come on, just disappear. You're supposed to be... He's acting like an owner of a team that doesn't have an owner, and that's just what always grinds my fucking gears. Made too much shit. Brett Favre, we can talk about Brett Favre quickly. So did you see that clip? That Mark Gastineau or whatever the fuck his name is.
Yep.
Player for the Giants was upset with him, went up and confronted him about ducking. Do you remember when Favre did that in 2002?
Yeah.
I was not watching every game then. I was not watching Packers football that much. Right. But I remember my dad explaining it to me, and I don't think I got it initially.
I more remember it being talked about, I guess. That's like what I remember about it.
Yes. So thoughts on this? Who's in the wrong? Because Brett came out today too, and he didn't really admit that he did fall down for the sack. He kind of defended himself a bit, but it was the most... middleman play.
It was the longest tweet ever.
Yeah, pretty dumb. But what are your thoughts on it?
I would say in general, like, I'm fine with that dude being upset. Mm-hmm. But here's my qualm. How fucking long ago was this?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And I don't think that this is in good faith at all. He's mic'd up with somebody recording off to the side. Yeah. Like, it's totally a gotcha move. And my thought is, it's because he's irrelevant. And it's like, dude, this is not, to me, that's worse. That's way worse. It's probably like the biggest blemish on like Favre as a tough guy and competitor is like that move where he just like falls down.
I thought you were going to say his biggest blemish, which would have been.
No.
This is the worst thing he's ever done.
Only on the field. But like that dude getting himself mic'd up, going to like a signing and like jumping Brett. Is like, dude, that's pretty classless 30 years after the fact.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I mean, he just, and this might be important, he sounds like a guy who has, apparently he does have issues, but it seems like he has some mental health issues going on too. Like, he pretty much threatened to, like, tackle Favre right there. But at the same time, like, I do get it, because it is bullshit, especially when the guy who you lost it to was fucking Michael Strahan. And it's like, you know, you got this guy, some bum, some weirdo walking around. I mean, I'm sure he was a great player. Obviously, he had, like, the best actual sack season ever. But it's like, did Michael Strahan really need that on top of everything else he's got going on in his life, especially when Favre, like, handed it to him? And the thing on top of it, too, even before this, because I listened to Willie and Tausch here and there, before this even came out, Mark Tausch has talked about in the past how pissed off that entire offensive line was when Favre did that. Like, they did not talk to the media, or they were very loud. Like, Tausch was ignoring them because they went into that game with the concerted goal to not allow Strahan to get that record, and they right. did it. And it wasn't until the very end of the game where Favre's like, oh, I'm just going to do this for my buddy. It was a run play. You watch it. It was a run play. Like, Sam Decker was trying to defend it today. It's like, dude, you're fucking, like, he didn't, he was trying to say that, like, it was a real play and Favre just didn't want to get hurt. It's like, no, that is not what was going on. Like, it was a run play. Favre checked out of it and just ran to Strahan and fell down. So it's like, that guy probably should have the record. It should be the, right. The guy seems to have nothing in his life right now, and that's the one thing he should probably have. But it's still, you can't be a weirdo going up mic'd up and talking to Favre about
it. And it's like, dude, address it 20 years ago. Don't address it now.
Yeah, and it seemed like they had some, like, pictures so together too. Like they had met up and they were fine, and now he's just gotten more bitter over time. I'm sure people have been in his ear about it, maybe.
I think also too, like, Strahan has to live with the fact that, like, everybody can make fun of him because he didn't actually get it.
I guess, but he strikes me as a guy that would be very pissed off if you said that he's not, like, the real leader. Because
that's even funnier.
Yeah, I guess, but I mean, I wish Favre would just admit that he fell, because he's still really, he was like, oh, I was just playing and having fun at the end of the game. It's like, Favre, shut the fuck up, and you didn't even write this.
Just a goofball.
he's been nothing but a goofball, that old Brett. Moving on. Oh, Stump Spenny. Do you have the Stump Spenny for the week? Oh, man, I almost forgot about it.
Of course. I always have it ready.
It's right there. You'll just pull it out, unravel it.
Stump Spenny for the week. Which former Seahawk did the Packers pick up off waivers during the 2016 season?
2016. Seahawk off waivers. Oh, that must be Christine Michael.
Yes, that is who it is.
God, I wasn't sure if that was right after Seattle, because he jumped around quite a bit. But yeah, he had quite the nice little mini run for us, huh?
He had the kick return, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think you're right, against Seattle. That was a game that was not playing here in Minnesota, because the Vikings were playing at the same time. It was blacked out, and we didn't see it until, like, Devontae had the long touchdown that came off of that first drive, I believe. But yeah, he was a weird player, because he was always hyped up in fantasy football too, never really got a true shot, and then he did for multiple teams, and was just, he was a pretty good fill-in player for multiple teams, and I'm a genius for getting him.
Yeah, totally a genius.
With that, the preview of the Seahawks game, who we were playing this week. We are playing at 7:20 on NBC. NBC.
NBC.
NBC. Sunday Night Football.
I coughed.
I assume, I didn't even look at the announcers. I assume it's Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth for Sunday Night Football. I hope so. I would hope, because they are a pretty solid duo. There's been a lot of commentator talk the last couple of weeks. Packers will be wearing their white out whites for the second time this season, which is pretty cool. I believe the Seahawks are wearing, like, their neon green jerseys, so it's going to be quite the combination of colors out on the field. The Seahawks are a solid team, 8-5, and first in the NFC West, currently riding a 4-game winning streak against the Cardinals, Jets, Cardinals, and Niners. Last week, they won 32-18 in Arizona. Packers are favored by 3 points in Seattle, which is a little surprising to me. The over-under is 47 points, or at least it was when I looked at this information 2 days ago, because I thought we were going to record last night, but people get sick. People get sick.
Whoa.
Seahawks offense. First, here's a question for you. Do you know the name of the Seahawks head coach?
Oh, fuck. No.
I don't think I
did. I can't believe I don't.
I don't think I did. It's Mike McDonald. He was the defensive coordinator of the Ravens last year. And it's MacDonald, not McDonald. MacDonald, like a Big Mac. At
Old MacDonald had a farm.
Yeah. Weird team on offense. They're 15th in points per game at 23.2. Their OC was in college football last year. I believe he was the OC with Washington in their air raid offense when they had, like, three really solid receivers. They passed the ball a lot. Sixth most in the league. 7.5 yards per pass, which is 14th best in the league. Third most third most yards per pass and the fifth highest completion percentage. So again, they just love to throw the ball. Quick plays. Geno's been okay for them. They get sacked a good bit. They have a 7.9 sack percentage, which is 21st in the league. They also turn the ball over quite a bit, 1.5 per game, which is 23rd best in the league. Rushing, they aren't great, a 4.1 average on the season, which is 24th best, and 95.4 yards rushing per game, which is 27th best in the league. Their players on offense, again, Geno is the... I think he's like the new line of what a quarterback is, like kind of the new Kirk Cousins, perhaps. He has 14 touchdowns, 12 picks. Again, the 70% completion percentage. He's just fine. You know, he's the perfect guy who you have as your quarterback until you have the opportunity to draft the next guy. That's what Geno Smith is to me. Their wideouts are solid. JSN took that second year leap with the Hawks with 911 yards receiving, 5 touchdowns. DK Metcalf isn't too far behind, 812. He's been banged up a bit this year. He does have the 3 touchdowns as well. And then Tyler Lockett is finally getting old. Their third wide out there with 511 yards. Noah Fant is their tight end. He is just fine. You really wanted him that draft. Was that the Gary draft?
Yeah. It feels earlier than Gary, but maybe.
I think it was the Gary draft. It was the Hockenson draft too, I believe. I could be wrong, but...
Oh, yeah, it was Hawkins. Was it? No. There was the two Iowa guys in that one draft. Was it Hockenson and Fant?
Yeah, Hockenson went to... I don't know. Maybe you got to Google it. I think that's what was going on. Either way, I'm in the never tight end in the first round ever camp. Pitts was taken one pick before Jamar Chase, I believe, which is just... fucking very, very stupid to look back on. The running game, the combo of Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet has been pretty solid. Walker has 542 yards on the season, but a 3.7 average. Charbonnet has 400 yards and a 4.1 average. They each have about 250 yards receiving as well. Charbonnet had a career game last week, running for 134 yards and 2 touchdowns. Walker did get banged up in that game. That's why Charbonnet got all the carries. It looks like he's questionable. I don't think he's practiced yet, so he might not be playing on Sunday. They also have a wide receiver named Jake Bobo. Nothing special about him. I just really like saying the name Jake Bobo. Jake Bobo. He's a tall guy.
It was the same draft, so it was the Hockenson-Fant draft.
Okay. Yeah, because there was...
And I did really want Fant.
Yeah. Yeah, because... That was the Rashawn Gary draft, too.
It was, yep.
Yeah, because I still would have, I still would have wanted Sweat.
Well, Hawk was gone, right? So there was, and everybody remembers Brian Burns was still on the
I love Brian Burns. When we picked, how is he? Yeah. How is he right now? Because he was pretty good a couple of years ago, at least.
I feel like on that team, for the Panthers, he's like the guy, right?
Yeah. I guess, yeah, last year we played him and he was still playing really well for him.
Even worse, though, Dexter Lawrence was like 5 picks away. Not 10, 5 picks
away. That's the thing again about, like, we get into it, it's team building philosophy.
That dude's a monster.
But it's like, you get Rashawn Gary and you see it with Lucas Van Ness too. It's like, is it really worth it, the long-term commitment and building up this prospect when those other guys are kind of guys who were plug and play good players? I don't know. I just, Seahawks defense, they are solid, giving up 21.8. points per game, 11th best in the league. Their pass D is good, giving up 6.8 yards per pass, which is 7th best in the league. The run D is bad, giving up 4.7 yards per carry, 25th best in the league. Their average in takeaways, getting 1.2 per game, which is 14th best. 32 sacks on the season, which is 17th best in the league. I mean, defensive players, they're really not chock full of them at this point. Leonard Williams, their defensive end, is probably their best player on the defense. I think he was traded for like a second round pick this offseason. He was just named NFC Defensive Player of the Week a week ago, has 7 sacks on the season and 12 tackles for loss. Kobe Bryant, you write down the name.
Kobe Bryant.
You write down the name, and then you say it, and you're like, oh, Kobe Bryant. Their safety is solid, too. He's coming off a Player of the Week win from 2 weeks ago, so he's been solid for him. He has 3 picks on the season. Julian Love, their other safety, is solid as well. They have their own Jay Love. He's their only player in the top 10 of the current Pro Bowl voting right now. Rick Woolen is a corner for him. They're solid. PFF likes him. And then remember Jaron Reed? Mm-hmm. He's on their defensive line. He went back to
their nose.
Yeah, he's there. It was kind of weird saying that because I don't think of him as like a nose tackle. But
right.
I guess he had that one lackluster year when I thought our defensive line were several times in a row thinking, hey, we finally figured out the defensive line, but we actually did not. But that is the, well, that's Seattle. I guess we could, I could talk about the injuries a little bit here too for us.
Yeah.
Bullard was the only guy who didn't practice at all today. Dobbs and Evan Williams were both practicing. Both still are in the concussion protocol, it sounds like. I would think Dobbs is going to play. Evan Williams, I'd say it's a coin flip. Cooper returned. Ballantyne returned. And so did Alexander. And Alexander didn't even have... he was a full participant. So he's practicing all the way. And again, the big thing that we've talked about with Hafley is... putting together your game plan based on who's practicing, who's playing. You go through the game plan, especially this late in the week. You're actually going through it. You want the guys who are going to be out on the field practicing their positions. It looks like Jair's probably going to play, which is good. I hope he feels like he can play, but I'm almost like, take more time off. I'm the guy who bitches about him, but I just care about the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think... it'll be great. I think that if he plays, he's probably good to play. Like, I don't, Jair, we've talked about this before. He's not a guy who's going to play through an injury. So, like, if he's good, he's good. So I'm fine with it. And then it does help getting back, like, the depth a little bit. So, like, hopefully we get Williams back. Hopefully if, and Bullard, right? Like, he seems like he's probably not playing, right?
Right.
But, like, some of that depth, that safety would be nice to have and not have Zane out there.
Even just Ballantyne at corner. I mean, I'd rather have Ballantyne than Stokes at this point.
Yeah, right. Who would have thought that? But then too, like having Edger and Cooper, I feel like with how Quay's been playing lately, that could be a fun thing to watch. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it's because we haven't been consistent bitching this season at inside linebacker. Because again, it's like the way last week went with Isaiah McDuffie. It's like, yeah, Cooper and Quay, I guess let's just ride that out there, you know, rotate Cooper and whoever, because he's a knucklehead too and doesn't seem to know what's going on. But
first year, though. I mean, it's a rookie trying
for sure.
Play middle linebacker. I mean, that's tough.
But the Seahawks, I mean, are you afraid of the Seahawks? Do you think they're a decent team? How are you feeling going into this game?
I think that they're decent. I think the difference is if we can get a pass rush, and this feels like a team that we can have a pass rush against, it just covers up for so many things on the back end. Getting a little bit healthier with the mini bye, having Jair back, that just feels like that defense is so much more well-rounded when they can get a rush and you've got Jair back there. It's a completely different defense. You know, throw in a couple splash plays from Edger and Cooper and have Evan Williams back there also, just like the safety guy that also can make some plays. It's like... I don't know. This just like makes me feel completely different about this team if we can get a little bit of a rush and then having those guys healthy. So defense is mostly what I'm looking at. I'm like, hey, I feel so much better this week.
Yeah, I do too, but it's just we keep getting these teams when they're playing for a lot. You know, again, it was the Bears when their coach was just, well, I don't even think he had been fired yet, but the OC had just been fired, and so we had the first crack at that. The Niners who were playing for their lives, the Dolphins who were playing for their lives, the Lions last week, and now we have the Seahawks here who still need to maintain first place in the NFC West. I feel like it's going to be another one of those tough grinding out games, and just, I think I heard that the last 10 meetings between these two teams, whoever is playing at home has won the game.
Oh?
Because we haven't played in Seattle since 2018, even, which is kind of shocking to hear.
What? Really? Uh-huh. That's wild.
You know what that game was?
I do. I remember that game.
The Kyle Fackrell 4-sack game.
He's a stud.
Yeah, and I think we just lost it right down the stretch, too. God, that was one of those where it's like, oh, the season is over type losses.
Who did he play for after that year?
Fackrell?
Yeah.
Oh,
did he go to like...
I want to say...
Was it like I say the, Cincinnati or something? It wasn't Cincinnati. Maybe the Panthers?
No. I want to say the Giants, but I don't know if I'm thinking of Blake Martinez.
I'll look it up.
Yeah. Fuck. But then I'm thinking Frank Zombo going to Kansas City, but I think it was the Giants for Fackrell. But this game, I still...
Giants then Chargers, then practice squad for Vegas and Ravens.
Okay, so I'll just take the victory.
Giants.
But yeah, I don't know. It's tough. I don't want to look into Vegas, but the 3 points too, thinking that the Packers are 6 points better than the Seahawks feels wrong too. I don't know. What is your score prediction for this game, Todd?
Shall you have Billy's first?
Yeah, sure. Whatever you want to do. I really don't care. You know, you do this every time, but it's fine.
Billy has 24-13 Green Bay.
Okay. What is your score prediction?
29-19 Green Bay.
God, you guys have pretty low scoring games.
I mean, almost 30 points.
Yeah, I almost want to pick us to lose. I really don't feel good about this game because, again, it's their head coach.
I just don't see us losing.
Yeah, but, I mean, we almost lost to the fucking Jags this year, too.
Well, yeah, we could lose to anybody. It just feels like last week felt like a loss. It just felt like it was stacked against.
I guess, but playing in a tough road environment for the first time last week, again, if you look at the schedule, we didn't have any tough environments to play in at all. Brazil against the Eagles was fine. We played the Colts at home. Nashville, there was more Packer fans than Titans fans there. LA, it was, you know, again, more Packer fans there. The Jags, who gives a shit. And other than that, you know, it was the Lions last week indoors, and now it's not even Quest Field anymore. I think it's some other stupid fucking insurance company or whatever. But it's the
hell yeah.
But it's in Seattle, which everyone knows what the 12th man or whatever. So back-to-back weeks of tough environments like that, a team that's playing for a lot still, a tough team, I would think. Uh-oh, what do you got to say? You got something.
Lumen Field. Lumen
Field. Oh, what? Energy company or whatever?
Communications.
Oh, yeah. It's bullshit.
They formerly CenturyLink.
Oh, that's right. Duh. I should remember that.
Unless it's something. Maybe there's a different Lumen. I don't know.
Yeah. But, yeah, I have the Packers winning 27-23. Again, I wouldn't be shocked if we lose this game and then end up winning the rest after this. And again, we have this game against the Seahawks, Monday night against the Saints. We have the Vikings and then the Bears, whenever. So it's just, I think we're going to go 3-1 to finish out the season. Maybe it's not this game that we lose, but I don't think it's going to be as easy as people are kind of assuming at this point.
Yeah, I said it before. I think the pass rush that's the difference. I think that if we can get pressure, that's a huge difference for us lately.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're not wrong. Bold predictions, Todd or Billy? What is your bold prediction?
Billy has a whole Geno Smith under 200 yards passing. And then he has in parentheses, he's second in the league in yards. And only one team has managed that this year.
I was going to say no, but the fact that he said only one team is managing that this year, it's like, okay, that's bold enough. What a Geno Smith, again, I mean, we were talking about weird careers with like Jonathan Ford. Him too. I still remember him being a little baby on draft night when he like was, I don't think he was actually crying, but there was all the rumors he was going to be a first round quarterback and then he left and then there was rumors he wasn't going to come back to the draft for the second round and then he did and blah, blah, blah.
Drama.
And then whatever, but he's good now, it seems like. Todd, what is your bold prediction?
I have Tucker Kraft 3 touchdowns. I'm not saying receiving though.
3
Kraft, baby.
Okay. I hate that because I don't have one written down. Usually I do, but I'm just thinking about it. I was gonna say, and I still want to say, but maybe I can't say, Josh Jacobs 3 touchdowns. Three touchdown games in a row.
Three in a row.
Love averages. Especially when apparently it hadn't happened since 2021. Is that bold enough?
I like it. I think so. I like it.
You could get away with 2.
Probably. But I just, our sweet baby boy Kraft.
Okay. With that, that is this week's episode. If you could please leave a 5-star review, that would be cool on Apple or Spotify or whatever else. You know, it helps people see the podcast or whatever. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell whatever. We do have a couple comments from last week's episode. First one, and God, there's been a lot of commentator talk, and there's rumors we'll have commentator talk this offseason. This is from Ben in Hobart. Who you got on color comms between Jason Garrett and Tom Brady? He says, TB12 for me. I would say Brady. I think the first exposure to him, I was less than impressed, but every time since then, it's like he's been good enough, and you still got to go back to it's Tom Brady. Like who has better experience in NFL football than Tom Brady?
I think, yeah, if the first game that we had Tom, whatever that was, I want to say it was like the week before Thanksgiving. If you had asked me then, I would say for sure Jason Garrett, because like Tom Brady was like super underwhelming and like super not polished. But like, obviously, like if you're picking a guy for the long haul, it's Brady. Like Garrett's like fine. Like I don't have a problem with Garrett. He's just like a little bit boring.
Yeah, Garrett should be like a... And I guess I don't know how often he gets actual commentator gigs because we had him on the Thursday for Thanksgiving or whatever. But he should be like an afternoon commentator dude. Like, I don't even like him on NBC doing the Sunday Night Football shit. Like, he's fine when you don't have to see him. He just looks kind of, I don't know, skeleton-y. I mean, he's a ginger or whatever, too, and he's very boring. It's like he's
super boring. That's the problem. Like, even his mannerisms are boring.
But he was fine on Thanksgiving. And again, he would be better than a Jonathan Vilma or a Mark Sanchez, I think.
Anybody is.
And then the next comment we had was from Do Ranger 96, listening from SC, of course, South Carolina, not Southern California, one could assume. Yeah. Hopefully Gamecocks legend Sterling Sharp gets into the Hall of Fame. I agree. Hopefully that happens. I always forget sometimes like the older players where they went to. Like I know Leroy Butler went to Florida State. Sterling Sharp, I guess, is a Gamecock. And then I remember like the old guys like how Bart Starr went to Alabama, and I think Nitschke went to like Idaho or Idaho State or some shit. He went to a weird college.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Paul Hornung.
But all those schools, they changed so much over the years, right? Like at one point, like University of Minnesota was a powerhouse in football.
Yeah, which is wild to think about now. Well, but then again, fuck, the Badgers were just so... I didn't watch hardly any Badgers football this year. Watch them lose to the Gophers, but it's
yeah, like, I didn't either.
How do you lose to the Gophers and then nearly beat like Oregon earlier in the year too?
And yeah, it's weird.
Their first time in like 20 years missing a bowl game, which is pretty sad to see that happen. But yeah, again, Spotify, leave a comment on this episode. We will read it out next week. Ask a question. Ask nothing. I don't know. What should they ask Todd?
I'm trying to think. I had some. I think I did ask him to talk about the commentators before, so that's done. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Do you have anything?
No.
I don't have anything.
No, just what's your favorite color? Are you going to a Packer game? Oh, I was looking at Packer Bears tickets today, too. I'm still looking like 50-yard line really high up, and they're still in like the $300, $400 range, which I'm not going to drop.
Favorite Packer, not Packer, favorite football play in a movie.
Okay. Favorite football play in a movie. Well, I would be surprised if we get any responses. Yes, of course.
Okay, so mine
is it Billy Bob Thornton?
Okay. No.
Okay, good.
It's Remember the Titans. Okay. And if you remember, Denzel Washington is Coach Boone. And at the end of the game, Rev, who's the quarterback, is hurt, but he puts him in. And he calls fake 23 blast with a backside Georgia reverse like your life depends on it. And then they win. Okay. I think they win the game like it's like 12-6 or something.
Okay. I was going to say it's not Billy Bob. Is it Billy Bob? No, it's.
Yeah, I know what you're. I think I know what you're going to say. It might be Billy Bob.
No, it's not Billy Bob. Fuck. It's Sean Connery. No, it's not Sean Connery either. Fuck.
Oh, I thought you were thinking of...
I'm thinking of the longest yard, the old man who scores.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Oh, fuck. I thought you were... When you said Billy Bob, I thought you were talking about from Varsity Blues.
Oh.
Isn't that Billy Bob?
I couldn't tell you. God, we are...
When he blocks for him all the way down the field and then he has like a heart attack?
I don't remember.
What? Maybe.
I don't know if I've ever seen that movie, actually.
I think...
My real answer is... actually going to be the one clip in Blue Mountain State, which I remember in college you guys watched that show. I watched like a couple episodes and I'm like, this is fucking stupid. The quarterback,
I was not a fan.
The quarterback practicing and throwing the ball. Have you seen that clip on like Twitter?
Is it just gross?
You can just tell it's an actor who had never thrown a football in his life. And it,
I hate that.
It's so bad.
There's so many extras. You could go down to the local high school or college and be like, hey, you guys want to run routes?
Right.
Like just be in the background and run routes?
Yeah. With that, another good episode. Hopefully next week. We'll get an episode out on time. I know it's happened a couple times this year where we're a day late, but hey, it's been 6 years of getting an episode out every single week, which I'm proud of, if nothing else. What was I looking up here? A longest yard. With that, Todd, do you have anything else?
I got nothing.
Okay. Well, I guess, okay, I'm going to click on the IMDb play page.
I could talk more. The Packers are top 10 in defense and offense. Oh, Burt Reynolds. Okay.
Ooh, we are?
Points. Not yards.
I like that. You know, every time we've won the Super Bowl, we're top 5 in both. So if we're at least top 10 in both, we're well on our way, don't you think?
7 in offense and 9 for defense.
Okay. Well, we got time.
I like that.
I will settle at 5-5 going into the playoffs. Let's see if we can make that happen.
That'd be amazing.
With that, I don't have anything else. Todd, you got anything else?
Nope.
AJ Dillon, take us out.
To anybody on Twitter or whatever, you can't do what we're doing. Just enjoy. Just watch. Anywhere I quit my job. Just won't pay. I worked all year, I worked all month, and then they took my money away. Yeah, well now I don't care, 'cause they ain't working like me down here. I said, hey now,
Fozzy. I just known around the nation.
Just into the tree. How do you still remember? Do you still listen to that? I have Taste You Like Yogurt.
I want to taste you like yogurt.
I love driving with Tori and that one comes on and I just...
Hell, just eye contact.
Want to taste you like yogurt.
That guy's pretty funny, actually.
His Twitter account is exactly like what you kind of think. Like he's... I just imagine that character walking through life. But it's like, what do those guys do?
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.